Minister a word, amen. I'm gonna preach a word that I entitled "Your Prayer is Before God's Throne." Your prayer is before God's throne. Give me 1 second here. Need some extra juice, amen. But I was thinking about this word, amen, about this prayer, amen. As we come before God in prayer, it's always before God's throne. If you remember in the Bible, God instructed Moses on the Mount Sinai. He was up there for 40 days and 40 nights. And God showed him to build a tabernacle, or also known as the tent of meetings. As the pattern, as I showed you, he said. He showed him a pattern on top of the mountain. And this pattern that he instructed Moses to build was the pattern that he wanted God's people to establish on earth. It was a pattern he showed in heaven. And it said that in Exodus 25, it says, "See that you make them the tabernacle according to the pattern I showed you on the mountain." This earthly temple or earthly tabernacle was a mirror image of the tabernacle in heaven. God's dwelling place. And if this is a picture or a diagram of how it looked like in the temple, you will walk in. This is the temple right here. You will walk in, and this area is called the holy place. You will have the table of showbread on your right, and then you will have the menorah or the candlesticks on your left, and then right before you or right in front of you is the altar of incense. And behind the altar of incense is the veil, separating from you from a different room. This is called the Holy of Holies. This is where the Ark of the Covenant was, where you will go in. The high priest will only go in one time a year to make atonement for the nation's sins, Israel. And you notice that the altar of incense is right before the veil. If you know anything about the crucifixion of Jesus, when he was crucified, it says that the veil was torn from top to bottom, meaning that God removed the separation between man and God, that you can access God's throne through Jesus Christ, that you don't have to go through this veil anymore. You don't have to go one time a year as the high priest did. But you can access God's throne daily. It's open. It's been made available by the blood of Jesus Christ. And it says in Revelation, and this is when, if you know anything about the book of Revelation, it's here John, he sees a vision of God's throne. He sees angels surrounding God's throne. He sees the 24 elders before the Lamb of God. And he says that they're holding the harp and the golden bowls of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. Meaning that your prayers are before God's throne. That God is not far off, but he's very near. And you can be able to draw near to God through prayer. Prayer is when you reveal yourself to God. And understand, you know, that God already knows everything about you. But there's something very powerful and very spiritual when you go to God in prayer. You could give yourself to the thought, oh, God already knows. Yes, he does. But you humble yourself before the Lord and asking God to help you in your need. Prayer is simply communicating yourself to God by words. And understand that there may be situation that you can't speak out your prayers. I understand that. But the Bible highlights that you get alone with God. That you will speak the heaviness of your heart before God. That you will reveal the secrets of your heart before God. You will bring things to light. You will prevail for souls in prayer. When you say a prayer of thanksgiving, it's revealing that you are thankful. When you say a prayer of interceding for somebody else, it reveals that you are caring for somebody. When you say a prayer of faith, it's showing that you're trusting in God. When you say a prayer in need, you're saying that you're not dependent on anybody else but God and God alone. When you say a prayer of praise, it's revealing that you're a worshiper of God. You are revealing yourself to God when you pray. And prayer doesn't change God. It changes you. It changes your situation. Oftentimes, Christians, when they get in the habit of not praying, is because often they get too busy. They get distracted. Especially when you start having a family and kids, you know, and you're working. All these things, and then you're tired. You know, the flesh and the mind wars against you when you want to start praying. Sometimes Christians try to work out the situation themselves instead of praying. We need to pray, but the flesh and the mind wars against it. You would think that when Adam and Eve, the men who saw God in glory and in the garden, when they first sinned, you would think that they will go to God in prayer, repentance, and confession. But you don't. You don't read that. You would think that Cain, the firstborn who killed his brother, you would think there would be remorse in his heart that he would go before God in prayer. But no, he didn't. He tried to hide away from God. God had to go and find him. And our flesh thinks sometimes that it's okay not to pray. Your flesh thinks that way. Like, you don't have to pray, so it'll be okay. It goes against it. It wasn't until decades later that men began to call upon the name of the Lord. When Adam and Eve had Seth, and then when Seth, their son, had another son, 3 generations later, men started calling upon the name of the Lord. When wickedness started to spread, men started calling upon the name of the Lord. Because most people don't call on God in good times. They enjoy the good times. It's often the bad times when they start humbling themselves before God. When trouble starts to spring up. God, where are you? You know, before salvation, you know, most people will pray like, God, if you help me in this situation, I'll do this. That's, you know, that's before salvation. That's how God, they know that God's there, you know, but it's like a favor kind of working out. But when you get saved, this prayer area, Christians need to gain a dominion over. Dominion in your mind. Dominion over your flesh. The scriptures record many times where Jesus prayed prayers. He had a daily prayer life. But do you? Do you have a daily prayer life? He often prayed in specific areas. And he will put his body in a position of prayer. His mind in the position of prayer. Away from distractions. And pray. You know, oftentimes I remember the time when I was going to study at SDSU. And I was newlywed with my wife, and I would tell her, you know, we had an apartment, but there's too many distractions at home. You know, I was in my senior year already. And I would tell my wife, listen, I have to go to the library because there's just simply too many distractions just at home. It was just the two of us. I mean, the distraction was right there, the couch, you know, the computer, you know. And I would think about everything else besides trying to study. So when I go to the library, other people are studying. It's quiet. It gets you in the atmosphere to study. When you go to the gym, you're in the atmosphere to work out. You know, most people can't work out at home because they're too distracted. Man, I try to work out at home and my little son jumps on my back. I'm like, dude, you're too much weight. Get off me. You know, you know, that I you know, but when I go to the gym, you know, I'm focused to work out. And you have to find time to pray. You have to find an area free from distractions so you can speak to God. Go there daily to the same spot, because your flesh, your body, your mind will begin to understand, okay, I'm going to get ready to pray now. It says in Matthew 6, verse 6, Jesus speaking here, he says, when you pray, go into your room, shut the door, and pray to your Father who sees in secret. There's a reason why God wants you to get alone with Him in prayer. Because it shows intimacy. It shows relationship, yes. It's like when a husband and a wife, you know, when they start having kids, they have to start making time for each other. Because when you have kids, the kids will draw time, they draw energy from you. But you have to make time for one another to show intimacy. You know? Shutting the door means remove distractions. God wants your undivided attention. Meaning that your attention should not be divided. You know, you got your phone here and then you're praying, you know? It shouldn't be that way. You know, put your phone away. I have to put my phone away when I pray sometimes. Because guess what? Somebody's going to call you. Somebody's going to text you. A notification might pop up. And then what? You get distracted. You know, sometimes I have to tell my wife, just because we're married and everything, I just tell her ahead of time, look, hey, babe, I'm going to go upstairs and pray. Because, you know, if you're married, you know, you're like, what is he doing up there? He ain't doing nothing up there. But I'm like, you know, and then, you know, I'm trying to pray. And then, you know, I'm like, you know, but I came to the understanding. I have to let her know, you know, I'm going to pray. And she gives me that time to pray, you know, being communicating sometimes. Amen. Learning how to communicate. Oftentimes I pray on the side of my bed. I have to lock the doors because my kids would just interrupt me. You know, that's how kids are. They just want mommy and daddy all the time. And it's funny. It's always in the time of prayer they start knocking on my door. And I'm like, man, devil, man. Oh, my goodness. You using my kids and stuff, man? My goodness. I just have to tell them, I'm praying, you know. And they'll understand. They have to wait now. We open our doors up an hour before every service so we could pray as a church body. This is how I learned how to pray. Because it goes unnatural. You know, faith comes by hearing. I heard other people praying and I was like, all right, that's what I'm going to incorporate. That's what I'm going to put in my spirit. I'm going to start praying that because faith comes by hearing. And the scriptures highlight both areas. It highlights both group prayers or group meetings and also a personal prayer life. And the enemy will try to convince you that's useless. That's useless to pray. He will say it's pointless because God doesn't hear you. But you understand by the diagram I just showed you that your prayers are before God's throne. He does hear you. Devil trying to tell lies from you from hell saying that God doesn't hear you. But you read the Bible in Daniel, it says this. Daniel, from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before God, your prayers was heard. It says from the first day, from the moment. It doesn't say on the third day. It doesn't say on the 13th day. It said on the first day when you set your heart, the moment that you decided to pray, Daniel, your prayers were heard. But we see that there was a spiritual force working against his prayers, hindering his prayers. This is a lesson for us to prevail in prayer. If you don't see your prayers answered, keep on praying. Keep on praying. Daniel prayed for 21 days until he got an answer. He could have stopped, but he kept on going. Jesus had a personal prayer life and also a group prayer. Here, Jesus, he went out to the mountain to pray and he continued in prayer all night in prayer. Meaning that you can pray at night. He also prayed in the morning. It says this, having risen long while before daylight, meaning morning, Jesus went out to depart in a solitary praise, and there he prayed. Sometimes I pray with my wife. We go downstairs before the kids wake up. We pray together on the couch, removing distractions in the morning. And then we see Jesus in the group prayer. He took Peter, John, and James with him, and they went on to the mountain to pray. I want to consider for a moment, amen, the fight against the flesh. The fight against the flesh. You will hear pastors, you know, saying that prayer is easy to do, but honestly, it goes against our nature. It's something that you have to gain dominion in of. Even pastors have to fight themselves against the flesh. I found that usually a Christian often sometimes thrive in prayer but they struggle reading the Word of God. Or I find that they thrive in reading the Word of God, but then they struggle in the area of prayer. Why is that? Because the flesh was always fighting spiritual areas in your life. It's trying to see if what you will give up. Oh yes, you have a good prayer life, but you have no reading of the Word of God. That's where you need to contend to. You need to have a healthy balance. The Holy Spirit tells you, you know, to get up and pray. But the flesh will tell you, no, stay down and sleep. The Holy Spirit will tell you, you know, read the Word, but then the flesh will tell you, go get something to eat. You know? That's how it works. It slips in thoughts in your mind. And that's why Jesus tells us in Matthew 26:41, that the Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Meaning that your flesh does not want to do it. You have to get your flesh in subjection to what your spirit wants to do. You have to fight it. You have to tell it what to do. It takes discipline. It takes you to remove all distractions, to force your eyes, your ears, and your mind to seek God. It's funny that right before Jesus spoke this verse, that he says, watch and pray, lest you enter in temptation. Speaking to his disciples, Peter, James, and John. He said this, watch and pray, lest you enter in temptation, because the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. So what was the temptation at that moment? Sleep. It was the Garden of Eden where he said this. And where he comes back, he finds his disciples sleeping. And he said, you can't tarry with me for at least 1 hour in prayer? The temptation was sleep. You know, sleep is not evil. But the flesh will use it against you to avoid praying. All of a sudden you feel tired and you want to take a nap. But you get on, when you get on your phone, you're all good to go. You can stay up till like 3 o'clock in the morning. Exactly. Another opposition for believers is when they start to pray is that they get to a point where they don't know what else to pray for. You know, they want to contend and press on, but then they get to a point where they're stuck in prayer. This is why you need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. This is different from water baptism. This is a different experience. This is when the Spirit of God comes and fills you up and you start to speak in tongues. It's a gift from God and he wants every believer to have it. The Holy Spirit helps you to keep on praying. Oftentimes when I start praying, I start speaking in tongues because I understand I'm trying to get my mind in order to get down and pray to focus. It helps me to get in the atmosphere of praying. And the Holy Spirit gives you boldness. It gives you strength. It gives you power to beat the flesh. You know, you give me a Christian who's not filled with the Holy Ghost and show me another Christian who is filled with the Holy Ghost, and there's a difference. One has dominion, one doesn't. One has power and able to speak in boldness, and the other one's shy and timid. You need the Holy Spirit. Listen, our English language is limited. But when you get filled with the Holy Spirit, it brings us to a place where we can go beyond our words. It's a spiritual language. God created all languages. Even though when you speak out in tongues, listen, you don't understand what you're saying, but God understands. It's your spirit that's speaking before God, bearing something that deep down in you. And it helps you to pray. It helps you to contend. It says in Romans 20:26, it says that the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes. It means that it comes along with us. It helps us with words, worthless words, groans. It helps you to pray until you get breakthrough. He's like our coach in that corner, helping us to go on, to stay in the fight. And I want to talk also about the posture of prayer to fight. You know, oftentimes in boxing, You know, to step in the ring, they hold a certain posture when they're fighting. You don't step in the ring with your ring hands down. You don't step in the ring, just start jumping around, you know, just doing. No, you come in the ring with a certain posture to fight. It gives you the best advantage to win. And when you come to prayer, you're making spiritual warfare. In Ephesians, Paul talks about the whole armor of God. And after he finishes talking about the whole armor of God, he talks about prayer. He talks about, you know, you put on the helmet, you put on the breastplate, the belt, the shoes. You take on the sword, the shield, and the sword of the Spirit. And then what are you supposed to do with that? You're supposed to pray. It gets you in the atmosphere to fight. Fight for your marriage. Fight for your children. Fight for your finances. Amen. Ephesians 6, it says this. And pray in the Spirit, meaning speaking in tongues, on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests, and with this mind, in this mind, be alert, always keeping in prayer for all the Lord's people. Pray for me also, Paul speaking. Pray that I may declare the gospel boldly as I should. Listen, you could go on prayer walks. I've done prayer walks. It's okay to go on prayer walks. But even when you're having prayer walks, you're distracted at sometimes. You gotta, you know, just see people are walking, you gotta see where you're crossing and everything. You gotta get alone with God. Draw near to Him. God wants you to find a special place and get in a position of prayer. Remember, God, your prayer is always before God. And if we understand that, we'll understand that, you know what? We need to humble ourselves sometimes. I mean, you're before God Almighty. And I understand, you know, in the church world today, you know, there's this atmosphere of, oh, you know, God's my daddy. Yeah, I understand that. He is your daddy. But when you grow in maturity, you understand that He's Lord. You understand that He's all powerful. He's almighty. And in the light of that, you should humble yourself. Humble yourself in prayer. Humble yourself in the position. I like to talk about five positions that you can humble yourself in before prayer. And the first one is that you can sit in prayer, amen. Sitting before God is a common posture. David, the king of David the king, he sat before God in prayer. It says that the king David went in and sat before God. And he said, "Who am I, sovereign Lord? What is my family that you have brought me this far?" Sitting before God is acceptable. But you can also bow yourself before the Lord. I got to be honest with you. It wasn't until probably 15 years of my salvation later that I started doing this. You know, I just started reading. I read the Bible. It's always been there. You know, I see people bowing before God. And I was like, you know what? Why can't I do that? So I decided to, you know, sometimes to bow before God in prayer. This is, of course, in my alone time. I go on the floor and I bow before God because I know I'm standing before God's throne in prayer. I humble myself. It says that Moses bowed to the ground. Sometimes people put their face to the ground at this time. And at once he worshiped, meaning that he spoke out in words. It says that you also can kneel in prayer. This is another position of prayer, kneeling. Daniel 6, he says, "Now when Daniel learned that the decree has been published that they shouldn't worship or pray to any other god besides the king of Babylon at that time, he went home upstairs in his room, opened the windows towards Jerusalem, and three times a day he got down on his knees and prayed, giving God thanks." Had you ever got on your knees before God in prayer? Maybe you can do it. I've done it. I'm not saying that you could do it every time, you know, but you know what? Think about it. You can bow before God in prayer. You can kneel before God in prayer. Why? Because you have a humble heart. It also says that you can lift your hands in prayer. It says in Timothy, it says this, therefore, I want men everywhere to pray, lifting up holy hands without anger or disputes. Lifting up hands is not only a sign of surrender, but also worship, but also embrace. It's what's inside your heart. You're lifting up. You want God in your life. You're surrendering to the Lord. And Jesus said that you can stand before prayer, before God in prayer. It says, Jesus said in this, Mark 11, it says, and when you stand praying, forgive if you have anything against anybody. Sometimes I pray standing because I feel sleepy. I ain't gonna lie. Sometimes when I pray, I'm like, oh my goodness, I'm dozing off. So what do? I stand up, you know, because I'm in prayer. These positions are positions that we could take before God. If you want to grow stronger in faith, pray. You could pray, you know, for 1 or 2 minutes. You could pray for 5 minutes. But when you go to war, you have to endure. You have to go longer. You have to go the distance. One of my favorite boxers that ever lived, or he's still living, I'm sorry, is Manny Pacquiao. I'm sorry. Manny Pacquiao, he's a great Filipino boxer. Actually, one of the few ones I ever watched. I just loved how he moved and how he just fought his opponents. And he said this, Manny Pacquiao said this. He said he trains for 36 rounds so the fight can be easy. The fight is only 12 rounds, but he trains for 36. My goodness. Meaning that if you want to prevail in prayer and learn it to go to the distance, it's not just 1 round, 3 minutes sometimes. It's not just 2 rounds, 6 minutes. You have to go 36 minutes, 12 rounds. You have to go to the distance because sometimes you have an enemy that's working against you. Spiritual forces in the heavenlies working against your prayers. You have to learn to go the distance. You have to train yourself. Get your flesh into subjection. It's not just, oh God, I prayed and the rest is up to you. It's not like that. Daniel prayed for 21 days. Elijah prayed for 7 times in 1 day for rain to come. Jesus prayed 3 times over 1 hour in 1 night. You have to learn to go the distance, amen, in prayer. Learn to fight and pray in the Holy Ghost. You want God to be more real in your life, draw closer to Him in prayer. Billy Graham said this, if you're a stranger to prayer, you are a stranger to the greatest source of power known to mankind. That's pretty powerful. I'll say it again. If you're a stranger to prayer, you are a stranger to the greatest source of power known to you. You might be asking yourself, Pastor, what should I pray for? I'll give you a list to pray for. You can pray for wisdom. There'll be situations in your life beyond your experience where you don't know where to go. Ask God for wisdom. Ask God for clarity. Pray for your family for salvation. Listen, the world, if the world makes heaven their home, but your family doesn't, you'll be heartbroken. You want the closest of those next to you make heaven their home. Pray for your family. Pray for them by name. Pray for your church. Pray for your church family. Pray for those who rule over you, your boss, our president, your pastor. You might be asking, what do you want me to pray for, Pastor? I'll tell you what you can pray for me. Pray that God will give me a word to speak to you. That's how you can pray for me. Pray that God would speak to me a word for His church. Because I'm not going to tell you, sometimes I struggle. I go to prayer and I'm like, Lord, I don't know what to pray for. I don't know what to preach. I'm going through books. I'm going to prayer. And sometimes it's a struggle. You could pray for me for that. Pray that God will rise up men to preach the gospel. Pray for your brothers and sisters to be blessed with a full-time job. With great wages and benefits. Pray that God will be done for your life. Pray that God would be fruitful in our outreaches, that God would meet people in divine appointments. Pray for the grow in the knowledge of Jesus through the reading of His Word. Pray to cut off sin in your life. Pray to have impact with the gospel for others. Make a prayer list. I have a prayer list on my phone that I use sometimes. That sometimes when I get stuck, I go to my prayer list and I start praying. I encourage every believer to make a prayer list. And you'll see it'll start growing. And then when your prayers are answered, create a section below, God answered this prayer. Because God answers prayers. I'd like to close quickly with Philippians 4, 5 through 7. It says this. It says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known before God. And the peace of God will surpass all understanding and will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. You might be asking, Pastor, what is supplication? Supplication is praying for others. Praying for your brothers and sisters in Christ. Praying for everybody in your family. And he says, you know, make all kinds of prayers. And I believe there's people here that are worrying about their finances. Go to God in prayer. There's people here worrying about the future. Go to God in prayer. Take all your worries to God. Because your prayers are before His throne. And He hears them. And He knows them. Contend for your family. Contend for your children. Contend for God's will to be done in your life. And I encourage you to develop a prayer life. Amen. Let's give God praise in this house. Amen.